Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above. It's
a beautiful day here in the Pacific Northwest. The sun is shining. We're aiming at 72 degrees today. Perfect summer weather here. I hope wherever you are, you are having a wonderful day as well. Today we are going to be chatting about the moon, doing something extremely interesting today. And then we will also take a look at the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. We've come to one of our integration points, and we'll talk about what it is that we're integrating. And then as well, we're going to take a sneak peek, if you will, at the sun's movement into Leo tomorrow morning. It happens at 1:37 a.m. my time, so 4:37 for those of you on the East Coast, so very early in the day. So I wanted to make sure we were prepared before it actually happened. And then I think today we will go to our Rosie stories from the Inner Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook, and we'll take a look at the Human Design Earth for sure. If we have time, we'll also take a look at the story for where the sun is located. And then literally that will be it for today. Isn't it nice not to have all these crazy, crazy things going on? Although I have to tell you, my tummy this morning is telling me that something's up. Maybe it's because I woke up at 5:30 and I've already had 2 cups of coffee. Thank you putting that one over there. And maybe my stomach is just reacting to that. I don't know. But today is definitely a day of some emotional upkeep, let's call it. And maybe that is what my gut is reacting to. We shall see as the day wears on. I also realized this morning that my own personal sun has progressed to meet up with the planet Mars in my natal chart. So a progressed planet often tells you like the direction that things are going in. So maybe it's possible that this is an adrenaline sort of push. And if so, I'm excited to see where that direction may be pushing me. But it does feel really interesting at the moment. So I'm going to head over to YouTube really quickly just to make sure I am broadcasting live. Yesterday, you know, I had some issues, but now everything seems to be doing really good. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. And J-Lo, hello. Amanda, Jay, good morning. Deborah Johnson, good morning. Good to see you. Moon sign, morning. And Amy, good morning. Deborah says good morning to everybody. Camilla, great to see you. And Jenlack says morning. All do enjoy that book's wisdom. And J-Lo says, nope, I was up until almost 4 a.m. Oh my goodness. Up until then, not up at 4. You went to bed at 4. Yay, yay, yay. Good morning, Allison. And it is good to see everybody and anybody behind the scenes that hasn't checked in yet. Good morning to you as well. So let's take a look at what our moon is doing today. It is, as you know, in the sign of Leo now. Let's see, today it's sitting at about 9 degrees of Leo. It is literally a degree away from moving into a square with the planet Uranus. So today's moon is interesting because it triggers some of that very awakening, rebellious, and revolutionary, shocking even energy of the planet Uranus, the planet that represents rebellion, that represents in a very big way liberation. So what are we being liberated from? I don't know. Maybe look into your own personal life and see where it is that you see the chains falling away, or where is it that you have had things happening to yourself, in your life that have served to hold you back or keep you down, because a square to Uranus means that's going to become intolerable and we may be in a sort of reactionary state to it. So today also that, you know, applies to our relationships. So today might be just a day where we're going to have to agree to disagree, right? We're just going to have to be aware that if we start to engage people in battles, that they're pointless and will go nowhere and just create more and more maybe feelings of conflict within. Maybe that, you know, that sick feeling that we get in our stomach when we've been in a battle, using adrenaline that maybe isn't appropriate to use at that particular time. So just agree to disagree, right? Take in everybody's viewpoint. It's all beautiful. It's all part of the one tapestry that we all are. So take that in today, but be careful what you start today as well. I know we're in the shadow of that new moon and it feels like we're ready to go. And if we do start things today, I would be expecting changes along the way. Like it won't be like one smooth line to where you want to go. It may be a little zigzaggy, a little bit of a fit and start, and then a lull and a back step. So just be prepared for changes to your plans and your goals if you're starting something new. It's almost like maybe there are some old feelings, patterns, or beliefs that are attached to what it is that you are wanting to start. Remember last week, I think it was, we talked about anytime that we set intentions, anytime that we're ready to step forward, that often there's this element of fear maybe attached to it. And if you take that element of fear with you into this unconsciously anyway, then it seems to be an effect on the project the whole way through from start to finish, where there's always some kind of fear in the background. However, if you enter into something new, recognizing right from the get that this is something new, something revolutionary perhaps in your life, and that there is fear as a natural process of that, greeting that fear, embracing that fear, not making it, you know, push away, but embracing it and then being able to use that as a reason to move forward, then you have a better opportunity of being able to get where you want to go. But if you ignore that fear, if you ignore that and just kind of keep pushing it to the background, then at various times throughout the opportunity or action that you're taking, it's going to come up and almost be a self-sabotage sort of tool. So be prepared for changes in your plans. Be prepared to know that there are going to be some ups and downs and maybe some backward steps. But along your trajectory, you're moving forward. Now, today we also have the moon in Leo in a trine to Mars. And Mars, as you know, action planet, right? Moon now in Leo is in fire of passions and inspiration and wanting to take action. It's a very good match to the energy of Mars in Aries, but that's a lot of fire, right? A lot of fire energy. So this is very good today for your physical energy. You might feel really good. You might feel really like getting things done. I wrote down here this morning, get her done, because it's the energy of action. Whatever you focus your consciousness on today is going to have endurance. It is going to have the ability to persevere through the ups and downs. So on one hand, be prepared for changes if you're starting something new in the day, but also know that you have the physical stamina, the endurance, the perseverance to get there. Now, just an aside here. When I see energies like this, they're very good, right, for generators and manifesting generators, because we already have that powerful sacral generator motor moving and humming and moving us in forward. But you can go forward very, you know, with a lot of energy toward nothing, right? Generators and manifesting generators have that. You can take that energy and you can focus it at something in the wrong direction. And you can then with something like this persevere in doing exactly the wrong thing. So we have to be very aware, generators and manifesting generators, that you are only in response to what is showing up in your outer world, that it's not some harebrained idea that you come up with and then you take action on it right away because you have the energy to do it. But don't, I would suggest that you hold yourself back a little bit until there's some matching picture in the outer world for you to respond to. I hope that makes sense for those of you that are manifesting generators and generators. Now, if you are not them and you are over here in the projector, manifester, or reflector realm, then it is a little bit different story for you. It is you likely trying to keep up with the Joneses, keep up with that energy, pushing yourself into a state that isn't natural for you. So your wisdom today and, you know, a little bit tomorrow even, is going to be about being restful in between your actions. So if something has opened up for you via an invitation, if you're a projector, just a creative impulse, if you're manifestors, or if you're a reflector, something that you've been considering for a while and everything around you is reflecting that this is the way to go, then you're going to moderate your energy. You're going to make sure that you're not going, you know, taking in a lot of sacral energy from those around you, amplifying it and rebroadcasting it, because likely that will lead you to burnout or to upset or to some sort of, you know, adrenaline backlash. So be very careful with this energy. And it is good physical energy. So I want you to be aware of that. Maybe take a walk or a run if you're a runner, or, you know, do something else that's energetic that you can also take breaks in and not have to keep pushing that energy. Now, today we also have a sextile to Venus, and that in and of itself is a beautiful representation of love on the planet. It is also the last aspect that we will see today before we have an elongated void of course moon. Doesn't it seem like we just came out of that? Well, we did. So here we now have one at 4:41 p.m. this afternoon. At 5:28 p.m. this afternoon, my time on the West Coast, until 4:41 p.m. tomorrow. So isn't it interesting? The moon goes into the void, and halfway through that cycle, Leo becomes the home of the sun, and then the moon will move herself out of Leo and into Virgo. So we're playing tag team here with the sun and the moon. And I always find that sort of interesting. So Venus seeing eye to eye, right? We're seeing, we're feeling, we're hearing each other today. We are willing to take mutually beneficial actions in whatever, you know, projects you're working on. We're mutually supportive of one another. This is a great time from now, that starts at 5:28 p.m. West Coast time today, right? This starts in tandem with the void of course moon, as it's the last aspect that the moon makes before going into the void. So tell someone you love them. You value them. You respect them. You honor them. You support them. And then be there for yourself as well, right? As others. Be there for yourself and others. Factor your own self into the idea of valuing yourself, loving yourself, supporting yourself, and respecting yourself. And this is the energy that we're left with from, like I said, 5:28 p.m. tonight until 4:41 p.m. tomorrow. When the moon then moves out of Leo and into Virgo energy. Long time void, of course, right? It's because Leo right now, there's, you know, besides the sun moving, getting ready to move in there, it's not really housing a whole lot of energy. And it's squaring or opposing signs that don't have a whole lot going on either, with the exception of Taurus with Uranus in it. So we kind of have a sort of reprieve from some of the heavy transits and the heavy aspects that the moon has made and other planets have made. So enjoy the time, right? Enjoy the time. Do your contemplation work. Do your new moon setting of intentions. Be willing to change the plan or the goals should those circumstances change around those opportunities that you're working on, and all will be well. All right, going back over here then for a quick moment to see comments. now, I'm not sure what, how can we see those progression planets in our natal chart? Oh, good question, Camilla. If you get any astrology program that you use to pull up your chart, I tend to use astro.com, AstroDynst, I think it's also called, but if you just Google astro.com or put that in your address bar, you'll come up with the site. Enter in your birth information and you'll see that when it goes to make a chart, you have a lot of different choices that you can make, including a progression chart that progressions to your natal charts. Also, and I don't know, you might be new here, but at the beginning of the year, I sent out an offer to people to get their their calendars. So let me show you the calendar. I've got August opened up here. So I sent calendars out like this to everybody that requested them. I didn't just do a blanket because I wouldn't know how to get a hold of you all. But this type of calendar will show you by day, because this one happens to be set for me where I live. I can draw one up and set it for where you live. And it will show you by day what all the transits are for you personally, as well as what's happening on the collective scale. And then it also, I don't know if you can see this here, but let me see if I can get that up to the camera. There we go. You see right here where it's, well, it was nice and clear for a moment. These pink and green things tell you, and blue tells you where your personal transits are, where your progressions are, and where your solar arc changes are. So you can see I have a Mars squaring Neptune. I've got all kinds of fun stuff going on. But it's set for you personally, so it's personalized. And okay, I'll do this. So for the next 3 days till the end of the week, so through Friday, if you have not received your own personalized schedule of transits like this, and you want one because you're new and you didn't get yours when I first offered it, or I did a second offer, I think, in March. So I'm going to do a third offer. And if you would like to see your transits for the rest of the year, email me at janet@living-astrology.com. And don't forget the hyphen, or it will go to some other guy and he will hopefully forward that to me. He's been pretty good about it. Don't forget the hyphen, janet@living-astrology.com, and tell me, yes, I would like my report, but I will also need your birthplace, birth time, birth date, and where you live now, so that I can orient it to your time zone where you are now. All right. So that's your offer for the rest of the week. If you have not received your report like this, you're going to email me, Janet, J-A-N-E-T, @living-astrology.com. You're going to give me your birth details and you're going to tell me where you live right now. And then I will send you August, September, October. I'll send you, I can do July's too, all the way through the end of December. Okay, cool. So there is that. And let me go back and see comments again. Thank you. That was a great question, Camilla. And Destiny, good morning. Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, good morning. And I do, I use Astro online. It's cheap, free. I mean, I pay a little bit because I want to hold on to more charts. But I also use Matrix software as well. That's where I get these charts from. And I also use Time Passages, thanks to Ursula, who turned me on to Time Passages. I use that on my phone. It is a great piece of software for you to get your personal transits and stuff, albeit you got to know a little bit more about astrology, but we'll talk about that at another time. And J-Lo says, I love mine. Debbie somehow missed that. No, you didn't, Debbie. I think I sent that to you at the beginning of the year. And if not, then I will go check that for you and make sure, because if I did send it to you, all I have to do, and you just misplaced it, I can resend it to you. So I will check that for you. And J-Lo says, I use mine as a mini Bible. Isn't that perfect? Amanda J says, oh, wow, how cool. Kamal, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you, Kamal. I hope everything is going well in your life. I know that you and I are sort of this carbon copy, although you are experiencing your first Saturn return. Today happens to be the second pass of my own Saturn return. So I had the first one on March 5th. Today is the second one. Maybe that's what I'm feeling in my stomach here this morning, that going over. And then I'll have the third one in another couple of months. And then I will be completely done with my Saturn return. And it hasn't been all that bad. I can tell you the lead up to my Saturn return was a whole lot worse emotionally for me than the actual return, and or the time in between the last return and this one. So Kamal, you have lots to look forward to, lots to be in gratitude for. So, okay, now let's go back to Zoom where I can then go on to what was I going to talk about next? I was going to talk about the sun in Leo, but our story of the sun in Leo begins today, where the Cancer sun is sitting at the 29th degree. And the 29th degree in any astrology in any kind of sign is a very karmic degree. It's karmic in that if you think of karma as your experiences and what was left undone, what you did well, kind of the check-in with yourself about what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses, what did you do well, what didn't you do so well in terms of the time period that the sun was moving through a particular sign. So today with the sun at the last degree of Cancer, this is almost more important than just that, because it's, you know, sort of a signifier of the end of the Cancer eclipse patterns with the sun and the moon. It is the end, perhaps, to that high energy of planets like the sun moving through Cancer and opposing the planets in Capricorn. Not that we're done with that, because we still have Mercury moving through Cancer and we will have Venus moving through Cancer next month. But, you know, for the most part, what can you look backwards over and see how you've grown emotionally? Right? Cancer is a sign of the emotions. What kind of fears maybe have you let go of? What new fears might have replaced the ones that you thought you were letting go of? I mean, this is a great time for evaluation, self-evaluation, honest self-evaluation, as in not to beat yourself up or judge yourself or criticize yourself or analyze yourself to death either. It's not about that. It's really about just taking that look back over the time the sun has been here. And what have you learned? And what do you still need to learn about your emotional health, about timing in your life, about what your soul's desires are? Because as we were moving through, as the sun was moving through the sign of Cancer, the very physical outer world expression was a mirror of the moon as the ruler of Cancer and what is going on in your emotional self and your soul self. So today might be a great day for reflection. And again, not to beat yourself up and say, oh, I've totally failed at that one, but to just evaluate, okay, this is how, what I really excelled at during this period of time. This is what might be left over, because the more you can do that, you're putting a closure, a period at the end of the sentence that was the sun's transit through Cancer, and preparing then for the sun's transit through the sign of Leo. So this is a practice that you can do as ritual. This might be a practice that you just do as, you know, journal, maybe just contemplation, just a quick check-in. You know, these are the things that happened over the course of the last month. And that, and actually since that solar eclipse that occurred on June 21st, when the sun first moved into Cancer. So we have this time period to really look at, where are we going? But it has to be built on where I've been and where have I been? What, you know, did I do well? What didn't I do well? And now I move into the sun in Leo from July 22nd until August 23rd this year. And that occurs at 1:37 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow morning. So while I'm sleeping, Leo becomes the place of the sun. And I bet most of you will be sleeping, except maybe those of you in Europe, where that will happen much later in the day. And now we're out of the inner and the emotional field and into the outer world, ego part of the world, the physical expression of courage and strength and bravery, if you will, of inspiration and being able to move forward fearlessly. So Leo is an energy, as you know, the lion is always large and in charge. And it's a sign of drama. It's a sign of people that really draw attention to themselves. And if they're not drawing attention to themselves, it is because they lack the confidence. That would be what they're working on, is building up their confidence level. This is an energy of action, right? This is fire energy. It is the inspiration to fight for what you believe in, to fight for yourself. And maybe fight might be the wrong word, but maybe to stand up for yourself, stand up for your beliefs, your thoughts, your values, right? Standing up for what you believe in. But Leo also signifies a time of the year where we, for us here in the Northern Hemisphere anyway, of vacation and of a time to relax and to play and to be more engaged in the summer activities, you know, swimming and sports or whatever it is that you do for fun, boating, etc. in the month of July and into August. It's the bulk of our summer. For those of you in the summer, I mean, in the southern hemisphere, this is a block of time that represents your winter. And so it presents an interesting juxtaposition, I think, is that, you know, the sign Leo is about that outer world expression, but you're in the time of year that brings you more inward and into that more peaceful, contemplative time. So it may be a little bit backwards for those of you in the southern hemisphere, as you're actually merging more to the inner world and changing your outer world in response to that more quiet, cave-like experience of winter. So interesting for those of you there. But it is also a time for taking care of the self. Now, harder to do, I would say, in the northern hemisphere when you're out and about and you're running around and you're doing so many different things. I know in the time of COVID, it's a little different, right? Barbecues might be smaller than what they used to be, maybe one or two people instead of, you know, 20, 30. But whatever it is that you're doing in the summertime, make sure that you're taking care of yourself, because it's real easy to get busy and to forget that you need time for rest, for that afternoon snooze or nap, or, you know, going out and just, you know, getting that massage or getting the doctor's, you know, visits over and that kind of thing. And easier, likely, for those of you in the southern hemisphere to take care of self. So lots of fun, lots of drama, perhaps. People who have Leo prominent in their charts likely will have expressions of that out in the world. So I can see sort of the handwriting on the wall of some dramatic twists and turns in our outer world. Let's look at what some of the aspects are that the Leo sun will be making to other planets and or other planets making in aspect to the sun. The list is surprisingly short, right? Surprisingly short. First off, on August 2nd. So what date are we at today? We're at the 21st. So we really are only 2 weeks away from August. I can hardly believe that. But the Leo sun on August 2nd will square Uranus. Fireworks, right? Fireworks. And interesting timing, I think, because isn't that going to be here in the USA where the rhetoric really begins to ramp up around the election period of time? I believe both parties will have their conventions or in this period of time. So it could be really interesting around here in the US as we watch the drama unfold, right? The drama. And if you think about it, the drama, it's really just that. It's drama. It's a play. It's a play where these characters, you know, called politicians are taking on the roles and, you know, they're acting like this, you know, chess pieces on a board, right? It's a game, the game of politics, but it stirs the emotions like nothing can. It stirs our reactionary energy. And considering that Leo is fire and Taurus is the home of Uranus that tends to dig in, it can be, I think of mudslinging, or I think of fire arrows aimed, you know, at each other's hearts. Probably won't be pretty, but we can stay out of the fray, right? We can stay out of that ourselves. On August 4th, 2 days later, the planet Mercury moves into Leo. Hallelujah. It moves out of Cancer where it has been since May 27th. So we can look forward to Mercury now adding his sense and sensibilities to the sign of Leo. And then the Leo sun on August 16th comes into a trine with Mars, highly activated energy because Aries is the home of Mars at the moment. And the Leo sun in a trine, that's a smooth flow of energy. So if a fight gets started, it has steam and it has power and it can keep going and going. So if this is rebellion energy, you can imagine that it's going to be very highly activated. And if it's any kind of heat, it's going to be more than usual. So I would be aware of that. And then finally, the fourth aspect, Mercury will conjunct the sun on August 17th, signifying again his halfway point between, in this case, his retrograde and his moving forward and the next retrograde. So we'll be having to look at how are we doing with the messages that Mercury brought to us through the retrograde, and what kind of changes might we need to make to our minds or in our conversation? What are we speaking to? Remember, Mercury, when he conjuncts the sun, picks up messages or delivers messages, and then those get brought to us as above, so below, right? So Mercury, the messenger, coming to a conjunction with the sun, delivering messages, and then also in our own charts being delivered new messages. Where do we want to go? What do we want to do? What's worth fighting for? What's worth standing up for? And how do we center ourselves around the heart, right? Leo rules in the physical body, rules the heart, literally, the literal heart. And it is also a sign of royalty. And that we can make all kinds of interesting connections around that. We can also connect that Leo heart to our spine energy, how, you know, we are able to stand up and stand strong in the face of all the adversity on the planet in your own personal life. And how can you greet those things with courage, the courage of heart, right? The heart center. So if you're experiencing anxiety or you're experiencing heart issues, palpitations, heat exhaustion also comes in with Leo energy. So we want to make sure if you're having to be out and about that you're drinking plenty of water, that you are taking really good care of your own self. If you're having back issues, look to what that part of your spine might mean, because where is it that it's weakened? It's likely where there's a fear, where you are lacking some form of confidence or self-esteem. And using the body as a tell during this period of time can help you get more heart-centered, more heart-centric. And we see that echoed to us today also in our Pleiadian Earth energy, which I think is very extraordinary. Going back, let's see what comments there are. Did I go backwards? Yes, I did. Okay. Good morning, Augustina. And we've got comments going back and forth. Elisa, good morning to you. It's great to see you. Kimberly Eberhardt says, my north node is in my seventh house, Leo. And knowing what that means makes me so excited and so ready for Leo season. That's nice. Jules DeLune, morning everybody. And everybody else saying hello to the new people coming in this morning. J-Lo says, just looked, I have my Uranus, Venus, and my Sun, Venus 2. Maybe that's what I'm feeling. I'm not sure. It showed up as squares. So my Sun square Venus, your Uranus square Venus. Some surprises, some more heart-centered energy, love. We'll see. Money coming in, maybe, or more expenses than usual. Leo is large and in charge, so we'll have to see how that plays out for you. Loving Light, just here to say hello. Great to see you. I love seeing you here. I love your little symbol too. It looks like it's DNA or maybe Cancer crab. I'm not sure. Okay, let's go and talk about now the Pleiadian energy for the day. Today we are at 4 feeling energy. Remember, we're still in the umbrella of transcending. So there's a lot of inner dynamics that are shifting and morphing and changing. Whether you are doing this consciously or not makes a difference. Right, if you're greeting this transcension with an openness, an open heart, an open mind, an open emotional center, then it makes it much easier for you to move through days like today, where it is 4 energy and feeling energy. In the Mayan calendar, this was Muluk, and it was a representation of water, and it's sort of signifying the motion of flow and how feelings and emotions change rapidly. It's sort of connected to the moon energy. The 4 is our universal energy. So if you're new to this, it is the base energy for all the life forms in every part of the universe today. And that's about foundations. The 4 brings us to a pause to make sure that we are standing on a foundation that is sustainable, that has strength, that has the ability to endure through everything that's thrown at us in the next 8 days of this particular cycle, or 9 days of this cycle. So we're looking at, have we created stability? Maybe we can see where the chinks are in that armor or in that stability, but we want to avoid being rigid. So we don't want to take that stability and, you know, mount it into the ground so tightly and so strongly that we can't make changes, right? That we get caught up and stuck in this energy. If you're feeling sort of stuck in a rut, that's perhaps the four energy somewhere in your human design chart. You're in a fourth line somewhere where you're coming to this foundational piece, but it's also prompting you to maybe stay too long, stay stuck in that energy. So we want to be stable. We want to have strength in the foundation, but we don't want to be so rigid that we break or that we aren't able to make changes consciously. This is also about being real. And you're going to see when we're going to do the Inner Wisdom Keeper stories today, you're going to see this term magical realism. And that reminds me of what's happening right here with realism. And is your foundation sustainable? If not, today brings an opportunity for you to stabilize the leaks. Where are you leaking energy? Where are the leaks or the cracks in the foundation threatening the stability of your life or of your project or of your interactions with people, your relationships, your finances, your health, etc. Today's a day to take stock. Evaluate those strengths and weaknesses, right? That matches perfectly with our 29th degree sun today in Cancer, allowing us to act appropriately in the right time to make changes in the patterns that we've established in our life or in the foundations that, you know, we are operating on. So feeling energy, feeling is our earth energy for the day. So we have a universal energy and it's always married to an earth energy. So here's our earth energy, it's feeling. And this is our invitation to live through our hearts rather than from our emotional reactions. Now, I'm not saying that we don't live through emotions, but we want to be able to learn to respond to what we feel by examining ourselves and changing those parts of ourselves that want to react to what's going on around us, or what's going on in our relationships, or what's going on in our health, or what's going on in our friendships. And you can go to any part of the human design or any part of the any of the houses in your astrology, and you can see where you are needing to examine your own reactions, or what you maybe hopefully you've held back the reaction and waited for, you know, cooler head to prevail or breath to bring you some sanity before you react. So today we are wanting to examine and change ourselves rather than blaming, shaming, or judging other people for our problems or for our inability to get where we want to go or to do what we want to do. So it's time to grow up, right? This is one of those calls to grow up and transcend those old patterns, right? You are choosing to change or not your inappropriate responses by your thoughts, through your thoughts, your beliefs, and the patterns that you've adopted. So it's all on you, right? It's all on you. It's all on me to change ourselves. We are becoming emotionally intelligent as opposed to emotionally crippled. We have not been very good emotionally on the planet. None of us really, right? This is still so new. We are being, you know, sort of pushed, urged by maybe, you know, some firm power on your back, pushing you forward a little bit toward emotional intelligence and really understanding what are the emotions and what does that mean? What, you know, your emotions are really sort of a compass, you know, a compass that points north or points, you know, wherever. Well, compass points north, but you can tell where you are by the points on the compass. Well, your emotions are that way too. So where you are about to have an emotional reaction to something someone says or does or an event in the outer world, that tells you where you have some emotional work yet to do within you. So that is why it is so appropriate to take a breath before you respond or before you react, so that you understand, where am I coming from in this? Right? I see. This is a fear. This is an old energy within me that's triggered right now. And I have the choice to react in an old way, which might be any number of things, or I can choose to be more responsible, and instead of reacting, responding in an appropriate way. And, you know, who decides what's appropriate? I mean, maybe it is the appropriate thing is to respond by standing up and taking action on change or something like that. It's all up to you to choose what the appropriate emotional response is going to be. So I know that's tricky for people, because we're so used to just using our feelings, to feeling our feelings, maybe not even feeling them. Maybe we're spending a lot of time pushing them to the background. No, I don't want to feel that. But this time period that we're living in, and on into the next 7 years, as we're living through a mutation in the solar plexus of our human design, we really need to become more emotionally responsible as opposed to reactionary, right? We're letting go of reaction and we're moving toward response. So not easy, right? Because we're so used to just responding with reaction. We're just used to reacting. You say something I don't like and I say, you know, bleep you, and or I, you know, get angry and I walk away, or I, you know, do any number of things. So be careful. What are you doing with your emotions? This is our opportunity for growth today. Okay, please take a moment. Thank you for the reminder, JLo, to hit the thumbs up button, to let me know if you are liking this video. Please share with your friends or your networks of people on your, you know, post it freely on your social media. And then also, if you're new and you haven't yet done so, please hit the subscribe button and yada, yada. There we go. Okay, thank you, JLo. All right, let's see. Augustina, I choose to be more response-able and intention for this new moon. Ooh, good one. And emotional maturity, she says, indeed. So true, JLo says, I have to breathe through it all. Exactly. Breath is your friend, right? Breath and time, just the space between breaths even, gives you a moment to cool down, to be able to see more clearly with your emotions what an appropriate response would be. And I know it's hard, because I still am struggling with that at times, right? I still find myself wanting to knee-jerk and react to things. And talking myself down from that ledge is my new thing. And no one says you have to react in the moment. No one says you have to respond in the moment. You could say, literally, I need some time for this, and then I'll come back to this, right? And then go process what you're feeling, right? The only other time you might have to emotionally respond in the moment is when you're faced with a confrontation between you and someone else, perhaps. And here's where it's even more important to have a measure of control, positive control on your emotions, so that you can be response-able and not reactionary, where you strike out with your words and verbal gunsling. Remember, we still have our south node, our old selves, sitting at the gate 10, which is about self-love. And sometimes we feel like someone is attacking us with something that they're saying, and we react to that with verbal gunslinging, slicing and dicing, or emoting in an inappropriate way. So we're learning that, right? We're learning that because our north node at the gate 15 is teaching us to love humanity and to see the humanity in all of us. Even the people that you might be in a confrontation to are really just sending out a message of, I need more love, and I need to be more accepted, or I need to be more included. And if we can then respond with giving them more compassion or more heart, then we can really change the dynamics of our relationships very quickly here. So that's very cool. Jules says, I also have a very hard time with that, with emotional reactions, I'm assuming, Jules. And I get that. I do, because it is. It's tough. It's very tough, especially if you have a prominent emotional energy in your chart. So a lot of water energy in your astrology chart. Maybe a lot of Cancer, a lot of Scorpio, a lot of Pisces energy that's really taking us into our emotions. And then, or even a lot of fire energy that sees you in reaction to emotions or to emotional triggers. So look for fire and water in your chart. And you might be able to see it here. I'm going to show you guys something here. Let me bring up the chart of the day. Oops, that's not where I'm going to find it. Let me bring up the chart of the day and I'll show you something that might be helpful. If you are on Astro, what you can do is look toward the bottom of the chart that comes up, and you'll see this grid. And this grid helps you to see what element that is being triggered now by the planets. So in this particular chart, if this were a person, for example, there's a lot of fire energy, a lot of pieces in fire. This is fire, air, earth, and water. This is cardinal, fixed, and mutable. We call this the mode in which the energy operates. So cardinal is initiating energy. It's the pushing forward energy. Fixed energy stays the course. It's more solid. Think of, you know, earth signs here like Taurus and Virgo and Capricorn. And then mutable, right? Mutable, they're adaptable and changeable. And then we have fire cardinal energy. We have fixed fire energy, and we have mutable fire energy in this particular chart. Air energy, very weak right now, only Venus and the North Node. And that means that we may not be thinking clearly, or our thoughts are not necessarily in alignment with our heart. That can sometimes lead us to more quick reactionary energy. If we look at Earth, we've got quite a bit of Earth energy, and we have some pretty good water energy, at least for the moment. Note that the sun is also in water, and that changes to fire and adds its energy up here. The moon will also move into Earth energy down here. So we have, you know, the planets moving through different signs that have a different element associated with them, and that drives a lot of the experiences as well. And when you look at this, you can go down the columns as well. We see right now there's very little mutable energy compared to fixed energy and cardinal energy. And herein lies kind of a very perfect description of what's going on in the world. As we're trying to make change, right? We're trying to change a paradigm, but we have a fixed camp that refuses to yield the old to the new. And then we have a new camp, right? The cardinal signs, the initiating signs, with a lot of energy wanting to go to that new level, wanting to move us, to shake us up and to take us into new territory. So we have the old guard, maybe it's the patriarchy, the representation of a patriarchy, or the fight perhaps between masculine and feminine. You could kind of categorize this in many different ways. But in reality, what we have is a split going on between the new and what direction do we move into, and initiating something, and fixed energy, wanting things to stay the same and not make the changes that we need to make in order to mature and grow and move forward. We need both, right? We need to have solid foundations in order to be initiatory, right? In order to move forward and to initiate the new, we have to have a solid foundation. So we have to learn how to work these energies in our world together to be able to then take on change. So it's interesting. It's just an interesting way to look at it. And so you can look in your own particular chart and see where this is too, right? You all have fixed signs, cardinal signs, mutable, but you also have fire, air, earth, and water. So your planets, based on the signs they're in, will take on different elemental significance. And then you can even figure out by numbers, how many fire sign planets do you have? So are you, maybe you're a water sign, maybe you're a Cancer, but you have a ton of fire energy. So fire and water, right? Often making steam. And maybe you have a lot of air energy, mind energy, and a lot of planets in earth. and they tend to, you know, just go nowhere. You can't seem to gain traction. So that's some ways that you can look at those elements in your chart. And let me see if there are any comments or questions about any of that. Jules says, Cancer, Pisces, Sag, Rising. So here you are sort of the epitome of water and fire and its effects, right? Destiny Clark, yes, I have placement in every water sign and a fire moon on top of that. Emotionally fired up, and then looking at where those water energies take you in your personal life. And so emotionally charged, it's a big learning curve. Yep, indeed. So you guys get it. I think you guys get it. And, you know, everybody's got that, right? There's going to be, in human design, we would call them conundrums. Everybody has to work through and be able to somehow find the balance point between opposing energies. So it's part of how we grow and how we expand and how we show maturity in our lives, evolve, evolution, right? Okay, so now we're going to take a look at the Earth first. I like that, Earth first. And here is our face for our card 60. This is realism. And isn't she a lovely face? For someone based in realism, she has a sort of magical quality to her that it's endearing. It pulls me in. And if you look at her forehead, you can almost see worlds in her, symbology there. So let's see what this is all about. So what we're talking about is in your human design, the Earth is sitting at the gate 60, which is down on the root center, which is a center for endurance, a center for pushing outward, right? Moving energy up through the body. In the gene keys, the shadow energy here is limitation. The gift energy is realism. And the Siddhi, the highest expression of the energy, is justice. And its programming partner, of course, is the gate 56, and we may be able to get to that today as well, which is where the sun is. So it says, the only thing needed for magic to occur is some form of a structure and an open mind. Here's the wisdom story. I grew up in a part of the world where religious fanaticism, poverty, and injustice were the norm. In response to oppression, people prayed for miracles. As a child, I also prayed for a better world where women and children were given more rights. But as I got older, I grew tired of praying. Magical thinking wasn't doing anyone any good, and I didn't trust my country's laws or its lawmakers. When the dictatorship was overthrown, it became possible for girls like me to go to university. Immediately, I knew I would become a lawyer so I could change our country's sick system from the inside. The only girl in my entire family to ever receive a higher education, I buried myself in studies, learned every law imaginable, and became a skilled debater, backing up every argument against the current oppressive system with irrefutable evidence. My work life was successful, but inside I was lost, unstructured, and my relational life was non-existent. I had no true allies. My mind had become closed, limited, and rigid. I had forgotten how to dream and had lost touch with the love of justice that drove me to learn and serve. I even started resenting the very women whose rights I'd been fighting for. If they didn't agree with me or appreciate all that I was doing, I'd fly into a rage. I found them completely oblivious to what it actually took to make their dreams of a better life a reality. But they were angry with me because I was so busy protecting their rights that I stopped loving, respecting, and regarding them as human beings with their own voices. When one of my most loyal supporters returned to her fanatical roots, I woke up, stopped arguing, and started listening to the actual dreams, needs, and desires of the people I represented. Now I see beyond the surface of things and honor the oppressed part of everyone. I use my understanding of the law to support and empower. My open mind and dreaming heart inspire all that I do. I've learned that true justice takes a village, and that changing the world for better can actually be enjoyable, relationally nourishing process, can be an enjoyable relational deeply nourishing process. My gift to you, I bring to you a love of realism and common sense. I want you to stay connected to your ideals and visions without losing sight of the practical aspects of the creative process. Just as a seed needs a shell and a river needs its banks, your dreams need you to understand the inherent structures of the world so that you can bring them to life. Do not see these structures as stifling or forever lasting limitations, but as supportive vessels perfectly designed to take you where you need to go and no further. Remember to keep the heart of your dreams close while holding all systems, religions, and mindsets lightly. Get comfortable with uncertainty. Think outside the box and use playful language. Seeming plateaus don't mean nothing is happening. Everything of true value lives within you, so be the eyes, ears, and mind of our universe, and soon you will be making magic. Here are questions for contemplation. Do you tend to run away from structure and commitment? Have you had trouble finding true allies? Are you rarely involved in something that lasts? Do you hold on tightly to your own way of thinking and doing? Without certain structures in your life, would you fall apart? If you tend to be too limited, pick a structure you hold rigidly and find a concrete way to hold it just a tad more lightly this week. If you tend to be unstructured, pick an area where you struggle with discipline and experiment with following through. Reflect on your most positive experiences of realism and justice. So that's our card for the day. And by the way, this is from Rosie Aronson's book and Oracle card deck called The 64 Faces of Awakening. And the information I'm reading to you comes from the Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook. All right. Time. Yes, I have time. I'm going to use my last bits of time here. I'm going to read us the story of enrichment, which is the gift of the sun this week, sitting at the gate 56, our storytelling gate. And something beautiful in that face as well. Right, look at that eye, that beautiful third eye. Interesting symbol on his nose. I wish I knew what that meant. Maybe some of you out there are versed in symbology and you can tell me what you see there. And let's see what his story is all about. This is about the gene key 56, which in the shadow is distraction. The gift is enrichment and the siddhi is intoxication. And again, this is the programming partner to gate 60, where our earth is sitting. So these are always partner gates. So true enjoyment is rooted inside your being rather than in the external. My wisdom story is, I was a creative kid who hated school. My parents were too busy paying the bills and watching the news to notice how bored and trapped I felt or how unhappy they were. As I entered my teens, I became sullen. I'd come home from school, shut the door, and listen to hours of music while numbing myself out with weed. I was either distracted, lost in fantasy, or blaming my parents and teachers for being so clueless and robotic. When I turned 14, I got a guitar and became obsessed with writing and playing music. I wrote about everything I saw and felt about the loneliness and emptiness in our busy world. Eventually, I got up the courage to play songs on the street. My music hit a chord with the young people. Soon, I was discovered by a big record company and signed my first deal. As a young man, I played concerts all over the country and lived the rock star life. I took as many lovers as I took drugs. My performances were deep and my audiences were always moved, but I was too high to feel any of it. Over time, I needed more and more stimulation to feel anything. I couldn't get high or overstimulated enough, so I kept grasping for that next extreme experience until I overdosed and almost died. When I woke up in the hospital all alone, I realized just how out of control and empty my life had become. There was no balance, no love, no genuine connection. I'd become just like the busy, lonely people I wrote songs about. And I realized that if I truly wanted to uncover the richness of life, it could never come from the outside. I had to go within and feel. So I did. I went cold turkey on all of my addictions. For a while, I thought I'd die from the physical discomfort. Once I made it through the withdrawal, I realized that the real challenge was facing and feeling all of the emotional pain I'd been avoiding for so many years.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above.
It took a long time for me to learn how to live a truly balanced life. Today, a single song can move me to tears. A drop of wine is enough to relax me. And I just love hanging out with people, laughing and spreading the cheer. My gift to you. I come to bring you true enrichment, not mere enjoyment or entertainment. I want you to get the most out of your life so that you can enhance the lives of others. But first, you must learn to balance fun with seriousness. And you must wake up to all of the ways you distance or distract yourself, from who you are and how you truly feel. It's time to learn to discern between that which genuinely nourishes you and that which saps your spirit. Notice where you are still a victim of your senses, of overindulgence and self-deprivation. I care less about what you do than where you come from. Come from fear and you'll likely do too much, too little, or at the wrong time. Come from love, and you won't need rules and protocols to guide you. Eventually, your attention will turn inwards towards gratitude, and your presence will enrich the world. And here are some questions for contemplation in this gate. What or who are you unable to say no to? Where do you overindulge? Where do you self-deprive? When do you sometimes feel sullen, numb, as if your spirit is depleted? Are you often overstimulated? What are your most powerful distractions these days? Think of what and who truly enrich your life. When was the last time you enriched someone's life? And pick a favorite distraction. Give it up for a day. See what happens. Awesome cards. Awesome stories for our travels through the gate 56 and the gate 60 in human design and in the gene keys. All right, one last look over here at Facebook, oh my gosh, YouTube, old tapes running in my head. And let's see what people are saying as we close out the day. J-Lo says, curious, since Uranus is in Taurus, and I'm a Taurus, but my Uranus is in Scorpio, what is that called? An opposition, right? It's like mutual reception. It's not even mutual reception because Uranus doesn't rule either one of those signs. But it does mean that your Uranus, you're at probably about your midlife, right? 45-ish, 40 to 45-ish, because you're halfway through your cycle with Uranus. And so you're at an opposition to your natal Uranus, right? That brings in rebellion, that brings in change, that brings in the need to go deeper maybe into what it is that you're using as a prison. What can you liberate yourself from? All that. Camilla, let's hit the like button. Thank you, Camilla. I love it. And Destiny, yes, and comment on the video afterwards, please. Yes, indeed. I've been trying. I know yesterday I skipped out on it because I had so many other things to do, but I'm trying to post a question in below the video after I get done processing it. And that question usually opens up comment, right? So please go look at the question. Don't look at it right away because it won't be there. Maybe in an hour or so, go back to the video, look at what the question is and see if you can answer it for me. Usually because it's just about getting interaction going between all of us. Amy says, wow, Janet, I can't even begin to comment. I'm going to have to rewatch again today to take it all in. All you said today resonates for me so much. It's very profound. This is why we're here, right? For everybody here, it is profound. There's shifts and changes and possibilities and growth and maturity happening on all of our levels, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So I'm so glad to find all of you here because you're on this journey. We're all in this together, right? As we're all moving and changing and growing up, if you will, growing more consciousness, becoming conscious beings. Destiny says, agreed, Amy. J-Lo, beautiful cards. I'm pulled to the first one. I think you can write it in the description box and we can still comment also on the bottom. Ooh, I don't know about that, J-Lo. I can certainly comment here. But once the video is processed and up, I never see the chat anymore. It's like gone. So what other people see isn't the series of chat. It is what the comments are below the video. And that's what I'm talking about, because it then is what YouTube picks up as a channel that has interaction, you know, going on, where there's something of worth happening. And it's just playing to their metrics for sure. But also, I find it as a way for us to get to know one another even more, and to be able to you know, bring all of our thoughts and all of our ideas to a very powerful platform like YouTube. So that is it for me today. Have a wonderful day, everybody. I will see you guys tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific time, so 8 p.m. East Coast time, probably be close to midnight for those of you in Europe. I will be on the Australian channel, Angel Heart Radio. You can just go to
Good morning,
Facebook,
everybody,
do a search
and
for
welcome
Angel
to
Heart
Living
Radio,
Astrology
and
with
that
Janet
is where
Hickox.
The broadcast will be
Grab
tomorrow
your cup
with
of coffee
my,
or tea,
good
sit
friend,
back
Annette
and relax,
McCoy.
And
we're
let's
going to be
chat
talking about
what
authority
is happening
in your human design.
Above.
We're going to be sort it's, of putting together the story of your type, your strategy, and authority. And how does that play out, and how does that help lead you to becoming and living your authentic self? All right. Until then, take care, everybody.